I'm a big fan of the trash, you know, American pickers.
You're a big dumpster diving guy.
Oh, you know? I love the trash mentality.
Always be picking.
Always
That's
be
what
picking.
I say.
Yeah, yeah. Always be repairing things you have never worked on before. That's my favorite part of that is when you find something and you're like, oh my God, a laser jet printer. It's broken, but I bet 9 guys on YouTube could help me figure out how to fix it.
That's exactly right. People are always like, oh, I'm not handy. And I'm like, neither am I.
How like, many hands you got? Normal amount? I'd say you're pretty handy.
I have no formal practical education. I just do YouTube tutorials and you can fucking build a car that way.
Yeah, I love finding broken shit and being like, I'm going to put the screws to this with the help of the internet.
I literally taught myself enough to become an electrical engineering tech at a real company. I didn't go
that
to
rules
college
so much.
For electrical engineering.
It's very funny that either that can happen, you're like, oh, here's every step to like fix my carburetor or whatever. Or you're like, wait, vaccines are just made of sugar water and they give you cancer? This is terrible.
Wait, what is this lab leak theory? I'm looking for a gas leak theory because I have a puddle underneath my vehicle and I have no idea what fluid
just
it is.
Trying to trying to fix your car and falling down in the QAnon hole.
Here's what the globalists won't tell you about the gas. I mean, it's caused by the COVID vaccine.
I mean, that's also like the funny thing about it is that that's one of the things I think the internet genuinely does provide like a positive service is helping people learn things outside of their extremely specific disciplines. Because I think like, well, there's your problem was even tweeting about this like today, which is like, have you ever met an engineer and tried to talk to them about something outside of their engineering discipline or met a medical doctor and tried to talk to them about something outside of medicine? Mm-hmm. Like they're morons.
Yeah.
They don't know anything about their specific field or about anything besides their specific
field. I feel like sometimes doctors, like even in medicine, they're like, look, I can treat this specific thing, but like, I don't fucking know how cancer works. Or I don't know like what this thing is. I just studied it for three weeks.
Yeah, that's a huge part of the problem too, is that we like endlessly specialize everything. And it's like, it's great to have somebody who's like an extremely highly trained oncologist, you know, radiologist or whatever. But it's like, maybe we should have a system where it's not so heinously expensive to become a medical doctor that we actually have time and resources along the way to be like, well, maybe you should learn about like podiatry and the nervous system, like, you know, other parts of the medical field.
So what you're saying, John, is you shouldn't trust science. You shouldn't trust doctors. And if you have something wrong with you in a health context, there shouldn't be doctors. You should just be able to pull up a YouTube tutorial the same way I can when I'm troubleshooting my fucking lawnmower.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is if we had competent leadership, I'm not even saying like a socialist nation. Like if we just had marginally competent leadership, WebMD would be as useful of a resource as people think it is. You know what I mean?
I should be able to barter with a medical professional. I'd be like, I'll do a valve adjust on your car. If you'll valve adjust
these nuts.
If you work my prostate. Literally valve adjust my nuts by giving me a prostate.
Todd has been banned from the barter center.
I need an emergency tracheotomy, but I know how to tune up a lawnmower, so I think we're going to be square at the end of this.
No, I mean, if you know a little bit of plumbing and they can, you know, get your, I don't know, if you're having issues with constipation. I guess maybe if it has to be like a related topic.
I don't think it should have to be.
Maybe that's too specific.
Well, I'm actually a professor who specializes in exchange value theory. So, you know, just even talking to you about this transaction, I'm providing an invaluable service.
Just like Marxist monks who wear big hoods and like they mediate all of the barter sessions that are like, I deem this an equal exchange value.
Yeah,
go ahead with the transaction.
Doing labor theory of value calculations.
These are the real public
heads.
Service.
Pulling out an abacus.
Yeah, look, they live austere, ascetic lifestyles so the rest of us can live in a fair world, okay? Nothing but respect to them.
So I know I brought it up last time we talked about it, but AMC is still on a ripper. It hit
the American Movie Channel?
Bucks. It hit 60, I think, for a minute, and then it bounced back down to 50. Yeah, $61.59, and now it's bouncing back down. And people are saying this isn't even the squeeze where, like, the hedge funds are going to like shoot themselves. Like this is like the squeeze before the squeeze squeeze.
What did you call it? The gamma squeeze.
So this is not even the game. This isn't
the
even
old gamma
the gamma squeeze. This is like a fake squeeze to get, you know, small retail investors to sell their stocks. So the hedge funds don't get as blown out as they think.
Right.
But they're going to like, these people are billionaires and they're losing billions of dollars. You have to love to see it. I mean, it's just, it rules.
You're saying this is the two for flinching squeeze. They're trying to suck you out. This is the pinch a poke, you owe me a Coke squeeze.
So
that's right.
This is the same people. Is this also Reddit, like Wall Street Bets doing this?
I mean, maybe. I think Wall Street Bets is like tangentially related, but like AMC and GameStop stock both have their own.
Oh, okay. But it's probably the same people. Yeah.
It's probably that they call themselves apes because it's like, apes together strong.
Oh, well, they should try taking a fucking bath.
I think, you know, years from now, they're going to write about this in the history books, how a bunch of, you know, Redditors toppled some hedge funds.
And then the epic Wojak memers finally destroyed the soy boy finance majors.
That's right.
Who were in fact Reddit and soy, despite not actually being on Reddit.
Well, speaking of soy, Bryn, I got a fucking issue with your take about The Fifth Element.
Oh, right? No.
Oh, no.
It is not a movie for children. I may have seen it for the first time when I was a child, but it is a very good
film. It's a movie
film
about fucking children.
Well, I mean, it's by a French director, so I mean, what the fuck did you expect?
A literal pedophile.
When you're a child, you think there is a fifth element, but when you're adult, you realize that there's only one element, the body of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
I pick up three elements. It's like the Kool-Aid man. You got the Kool-Aid and the jug and the ice, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Yeah, the holy trinity of the Kool-Aid man, which I've seen that go around, and I'm disappointed that nobody has drawn the Kool-Aid man as an unutterable angelic form yet from the Old Testament.
Oh, it's like all the eyes,
I think,
and
that
wings
would really work.
Yeah. He just have like 50 straws coming out of him.
It's all eyes and tentacles. Those are the best.
Yeah, imagine that shit bursting through your wall.
What if it was a Hell's Angels biker gang, but they had those on their
instead
armless
of those
vests? You know,
just like a Lovecraftian monster.
Yeah, I want to see a fucking Bloodborne biker gang.
That's what biker gangs already think of themselves. They get on like an expensive machine that makes a loud noise, and they're like, "I'm Cthulhu, baby. I'm the idiot god. Like,
I'm riding an old one."
That is true. Some like boomer motorcycle people are like, I'm basically like the most edgy transgressive dude that like these people have ever seen at McDonald's. They're like, who the fuck is this guy? He's so crazy.
I think there should be like really, really hipster motorcycle guys who show up and they're wearing like their Piss Christ t-shirt and they're like talking about like, oh, did you see the new Banksy installation down in Houston? Like,
well, you know how there's that like incel meme that Scott Pilgrim versus the World ruined an entire generation of women? What it really should be is Easy Rider ruined an entire generation of male boomers.
On the road, sure. Destroyed like 19 consecutive generations of men.
Does that book have motorcycles in it?
I don't care.
On the Road?
I don't know.
I liked On the Road.
I never read it.
That's because you are Reddit and soy.
That's correct.
That's correct. Okay, but wait. Really, like, what happened with GameStop? Like, what was the actual final thing that happened? Like,
The stock went up a bunch, and then it settled down, and now it's going up a bunch again. AMC and GameStop were both being shorted, so... let me see what GameStop is doing, because I only hold AMC. I don't hold any GameStop.
Okay. Well, that's
I mean, it's currently at like $2.66, and in January it was like what, $18 or something? Yes. It was insanely low.
So it went up to over $300, and it went back down to like $50, because that was the first squeeze. Squeezed a bunch of hedgies out, and then it squeezed again, and then it settled down at like $150. And now it's squeezing again alongside AMC, but AMC is the real ripper. GameStop, I think, is because it's being shorted by the same people. It's happening because like the Redditors are kind of doing them simultaneously. But AMC is seeing like the most insane price movement of all time.
So, okay, riddle me this, because I just moved to where there is still actually a functional GameStop store attached to a Target.
I just went to one yesterday. Mm-hmm. Nice. I bought Sekiro.
So if I go in... What do I scream and put on my phone screen to shove in the face of the GameStop employee? What's the move?
You should just go in and be like, how do I beat Bloodborne?
Yeah. Hello, sir. 10 of your finest GameStop stocks, please. I would like to contribute to the bubble.
If the GameStop stock goes up enough, you might finally be able to buy Battletoads.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, that's how that works.
Yeah.
I've been holding on to a copy of Battletoads just in case of a squeeze, you know.
How do they know if the hedge funds lose it? Is that reported?
All that information is available to the public, with like an account at like one of these financial data sites that is
Bloomberg
like
terminals or some shit.
No, not even that. It's we know that there is this many shares being borrowed so that the hedge funds can try and short them, and we know that if that, then we can do a little math to figure out, oh, they lost $1 billion this week, or they lost $700 million this week. So it's like,
okay,
it's pretty public.
Yeah, I mean, I just remember seeing that tweet from Unusual Whales a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, where it was like, Hillary Clinton just bought $1 million in Roblox stock.
Did she really?
Yeah. It's publicly traded and it's going up.
Wait, Roblox has a stock?
Yeah, Roblox is like a big publicly traded stock because they're like one of the bigger games.
It's trading at $100 a share. Are you so fucking with me?
Roblox is like what Minecraft was 5 years. Because Roblox is like Minecraft for really little babies.
Yeah, but Minecraft isn't an IPO.
Well, it's owned by Microsoft. They bought it for billions of dollars.
I guess
they bought Mahjong for billions of dollars. That is weird that it's like a stock, though. Is it just its own company?
How do I invest it? What I want to know is how I invest in Jagex, the company that runs RuneScape.
Ooh, because you never know when they might come back.
They might pop off.
You have to have all your skills grinded to 100 on that.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, honestly, just like kill rats. Maybe they'll drop a rare stock loot.
That would be a move, though. Like, imagine a game dev was like, okay, we're giving away stock in our IPO, and the only way to get it is you have to be a high-level player in the game.
Imagine no more, John. Just watch Ready Player One.
That's Ready Player One, yeah.
Is it really?
Oh, well, kind of.
Basically. Yeah.
I hate that.
You can win the company by playing an ARG game about 80s trivia.
ARG is not a video game. ARG is the only good alternate augmented reality game that has ever existed was the CD release of the Nine Inch Nails album Year
I was
Zero.
Hoping you were going
to
say that.
It's all been downhill from it. He went to such detail that if you put the CD in the refrigerator, it would change colors and give you a hint. Nobody has ever touched that.
That's really fucking cool.
Yeah. Death Grips was fun when the No Love Deep Web ARG was really good.
Sure.
But nobody knew about it because it was only on 4chan. And then also they gave up.
Yeah,
it was gonna be cool, but then it's fucked up.
My favorite ARG is doing tax fraud.
It's
augmented reality because you get a thing in the mail and then you go on the internet and you just plug numbers in until you get as much money back as you can.
I love,
and that's how you win.
My favorite augmented reality game has got to be the one they outlawed, I don't know, before my time, just shouting fire in a crowded theater. Nothing beats the thrill. Nothing beats the sheer panic.
That's a classic one, yeah, because it's like built into every game, but like nobody really knows about it or like wants to use it. The mods will tell you it's against the rules, but you know, it's not.
Yeah, I got banned from Club Penguin and Habbo Hotel for shouting fire in a crowded digital theater.
Yeah, I got my forearm broken when I waltzed into a police station and I was like, this is a PvP zone, right? Turns out it was, but there were way more mobs than I could handle.
Yeah.
Speaking of walking into a police station with a firearm, I watched the Harley Quinn movie again the other night. It holds up. It fucking slaps.
Is that
slaps.
The Birds of Prey, the Miseducation of... Okay.
That one looked fun.
That one looks good, yeah.
It was very fun.
I disagree.
I mean, it's a really stupid movie, and I like stupid movies. You guys know this.
Yeah, you love
it. You've made fun of me for
movies.
It.
Sure.
I love The Fifth Element, one of the stupidest movies I've ever seen.
That movie is incredible. Okay?
I only wish your taste in movies was worse, so that you would watch the kind of shit that I like to hate watch, because at least, four straight seasons of Lex. Can I interest you?
Lex is pretty insane.
That's just good. Yeah.
Did you guys watch the opening scene of Cruella that was going around Twitter? That
no,
looks incredible.
No, was
I kind of
really
want to watch that.
Oh my god,
it's so good.
So there's, it's hard to describe how goofy it is, but it's like little Emma Stone, like a baby playing Cruella. It's like gets knocked over by not Dalmatians. And then these CGI Dalmatians like rush the mom who's standing on a cliff. And then the mom just makes like a completely non-reaction, just stares right at the camera and doesn't move her face. And then the Dalmatians knock her off the cliff and she dies.
What the fuck? So her mother was killed by Dalmatians. Story.
Yeah, yeah, where it's like she hates Dalmatians because they killed her mom.
And
but
also
in a terrible CGI sequence.
Hell Dalmatians, yes. A breed of dog famous for running like a pack of bison off the side of a cliff like lemmings. Like,
is it just Lion King? Did they just Lion King her?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, yeah. It's like Simba's rocks. Origin story.
I haven't watched it yet, but I'm going to.
Honestly, yeah, that scene was like, I need to watch this movie. This looks amazing.
I can't wait to hear one of the CGI Dalmatians be like, a saute son, a squash banana.
Someone in the Gen Loss Discord was saying that it's like one of the strangest movies they've ever seen. Like, just shit keeps happening that doesn't make any sense with no emotion. So I'm very excited.
Oh, I love that. Like, they're trying to play off of that like weird, like grim, austere, like what was the Lemony Snicket book series that got turned into
a series of unfortunate events.
Yeah, trying to play off of that like aesthetic, but like that, it, you can't just deadpan it. Like, there has to be these like weird moments of actual like salient like emotional content, and it doesn't seem like the Cruella movie is prepared to have even a glimmer of that.
It honestly looks a lot like the tone of Eyes Wide Shut, which makes me
it kind of does. Yeah, I never thought of that.
Which hell makes me very excited.
I wish they would just make movies that aren't based on existing IP.
Like, yeah,
yeah,
please.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
please do something that's not a book or a comic.
I mean, if the guy who did Joker had just been like, and like he said this after he made the movie, but if he had just been like, yeah, I want to remake Taxi Driver, they probably would have let him do it, you know. No, but instead, he had to be like, I want to remake Taxi Driver, but the only way that a studio will give me money is if I base it on fucking Batman.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that's like we're one summer away from like this summer, Caillou's all grown up, Vin Diesel, like, you know.
Wait, what is Caillou?
That little kid with cancer.
The little bald baby.
Does he have cancer in canon?
I don't think he actually does. It's just a meme. People say he looks like Anthony Fantano. That's like all I know about him.
He's just a bald kid.
Yeah, he just has no hair.
He's
yet.
Charlie Brown style, has a couple hairs.
That means he has a lot of testosterone, if if Reddit is to be believed. The bald guy's subreddit. I'm just Bruce assuming Willis I've never been him. There.
Yeah, the definitive bald guy subreddit r/Caillou.
There's like pictures of dudes that were like, well, might as well go full Caillou mode. And they shave their whole head and then like put on the little t-shirt he has. Yeah. And everyone's like, white, look a great king.
Got my yellow polo today, kings. Can I get a little support in the chat?
Yeah,
got
I'm
my
actually,
blue shorts on.
Yeah, I'm bald and that means I'm a Chad, actually. I have extremely high T. Yeah, that's a weird thing. That's not true, right?
I don't know
or maybe. Care.
Have you ever
anybody
seen Bruce Willis?
That much,
he's pretty buff.
95% of people on the internet who spend that much time thinking about testosterone have way more important things wrong with them than whether or not they're bald.
Well, they always say that it's soy, and they're like, oh, it's because you're eating soy or whatever. And it's like, no, there's literally plastic in your food.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's like everything you eat is made of everything you eat, everything you drink, the water that you fucking bathe in. You're surrounded by plastics. That's why your body is messed up. And it messes you up in all sorts of like weird, unpredictable ways. That's why, like,
because of lead.
The fucking.
It's because you're not eating enough eggplant, okay? I eat nothing but eggplant. That gives me this nice, healthy purple glow. And that way, when people say, I don't care if you're, you know, yellow, green, or purple, I'm included.
Yeah, that's right.
I love that. Now
I'm being like, oh, I actually care. That's fucked up. Why are you purple?
Now I'm a POC.
The lead paint is,
color.
The lead paint is why the boomers are insane.
It's, right.
Yeah, they all they got exposed to that, and when they stopped putting lead in paint and gasoline, that's when I think murders went down. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's there's a correlation. I don't know if there's.
I mean, there's no, also the a correlation between just like social conditioning and the economy selecting who lives and who dies based on class status.
Yeah, that also
contributing factors.
I think mainly it was rap music, though. As soon as that came out, people were like, "I just want to think about the wheels on the bus and not murder anyone."
In a counterintuitive move, violence in video games has actually drastically decreased violence in real life as people seek to flee to meditation apps and hour-long ambient albums. Like,
yeah, ASMR.
Anyway. I no longer want to play GTA San Andreas. I just want to watch a 16-year-old Korean person eat way too much food.
Who doesn't love a good mukbang?
God, anyway, so what else is fucking horrifying. I don't understand that shit.
Yeah, more like fuck, dang, that's too much food.
I mean, yeah. But like, I mean, I don't get it. What it must be, it's got to be a fetish thing, right? They want to see people eating food, right?
Yeah, I feel like it's like borderline fetish.
I think they were trying to rescue also like the idea of spectacle eating from like a bunch of weird looking dudes at a Texas State Fair just smashing hot dogs into their mouth. They were like, you know, I bet I could make eating food look better than that.
I mean, I think anything looks better than like dipping a hot dog in water and then like shoveling it down your throat plain. Not very aesthetically appealing.
Hey, those that are the real glizzy so gulpers, and I want you to be disrespecting the troops like that.
I mean, they are, but at what cost?
The real military industrial complex is Nathan's hot dogs.
Yeah. The only troop I respect is, I forgot his name. Kobayashi.
Yeah,
Kobayashi.
Christopher Dorner. Did you guys see that, like, so, you know, it used to be like a cool epic thing that like on Memorial Day you would say like, this is the only troop I respect, and then post a picture of Christopher Dorner. And now we've progressed on to that where there's literally now people that are like, oh, this is actually now cringe and gay because too many people have done it. And it's like, please he's go still good. Outside. Please. It's like, if you tweet more than 10 times a day, you have irreparable mental illness. I'm sorry. And it's
how
like,
many times
that's
do you tweet a day?
He's cut back.
Oh, he's cut
back.
Okay.
I got it down to like 3 or 4, maybe 5.
Nice. Yeah, I've been low tweeting and it's feeling great. I've got low T, as they say.
That's right.
Oh, that reminds me of something else that happened this week. Bo Burnham released a special.
Is it good? Is he still an epic piano guy?
Called Inside.
It was okay. It was as funny as people are saying it is, but like the funny parts are all anybody's talking about. And there was this weird undercurrent of like overly sweet saccharine sentimentality that I just thought was weirdly humanist for a special that people are like, he's finally talking about Marx. And I'm like, oh, have we all been waiting for Bo Burnham to finally talk? Did I miss the memo that was upcoming? Like,
right. Well, that's the thing. So someone took a screenshot of the Bo Burnham special of him, like, clearly in some sort of bit where a sock puppet that he has on his hand is singing to him. And it's like really,
so he literally made up a guy and is then having a bit with this guy.
Yeah. Yes. He's riffing with this guy. Yeah. But he, it says something like, you know, the capitalism is about removing the means of production from, it's just like, just describing what communism is and like the manifesto in a very quick succession. And then he says, and the FBI killed Martin Luther King. And people were like really mad at it. Not because it was communist, but because it was cringe.
And
they were like, this is cringe because I really didn't find anybody explaining why they thought it was embarrassing, but they were just saying like, and somebody on Twitter made a good point. They were just saying, like, if you really wanted, like, communism to become mainstream, you have to get used to the idea that there's going to be, like, Marxist John Oliver.
I'm sorry, I'm gonna kill myself now.
See, but that's the thing, because I think a lot of people have like this sort of like, it's my subculture that I like.
Right.
And like seeing people like who I don't like make jokes or start to accept like ideas like that, they get this weird like reflexive like, oh, ew, that's gross and cringe. But it's like, why?
I agree with you, Brent.
His special was cringe. There was a bunch of cringe in it.
It's Bo Burnham.
That doesn't make it bad. Yeah, and also, like, I have to say, like, do we all think that Bo Burnham was trying to tailor his special to already hardened internet communists? I don't think so. I think that most people who are watching a Bo Burnham special are wide-eyed liberals at best. You know, just because we all like to have a little media conversation on the Bird app doesn't mean that, like, this is the definitive audience. Like, he was testing it out on us. Let's see what the Stalinists think.
Brent, I'm with you on the point that, like, if, you know, if there were to be a massive paradigm shift, a shift in the mode of production, you would have to get used to leftist John Oliver. I'm throwing up on my mouth a little bit. Like, you know, leftist Jay Leno, you know, shit like that. It just sounds like bits that were created by like an online generator. But I do also have, oh god, I'm
folks, you hear about this? You ever hear about going to your plantation and the cotton's not ripe? What's that about, folks?
You do also have to think about, like, oh, they let this on TV. Like, these billionaire fucking media executives, they let this on TV because it's a fucking sock puppet talking about Marx. And, like, when the only way you can be honest about the fucking FBI murdering a civil rights leader is when it's like a goofy sock puppet saying it in a comedy special as a punchline, I think it's reasonable to like have a reaction to that is not just like, oh yay, they're saying it on TV now. It's like, no, they're saying it on TV in a way that trivializes it.
Well, and here's my thing that really made me have two minds about the special is that Bo, in the course of doing the special, tries to address the limitations of the special. Like, he's kind of relentless about
he's doing meta commentary
now? He's doing meta comedy.
That's all he does.
And meta commentary. And in all honesty, I think that it did do a halfway good job of expressing to people that, like, you know, I'm not coming out here and doing anything particularly revolutionary. Like, he was being self-effacing enough about it. But then also, I'm of the mind that, like, if you have to be in the position where you're like, hey, my approach to this isn't that serious, maybe it wasn't necessarily that worth talking about from your perspective in the first place. So
no, it was probably worth about as much money as the network paid him to do the special.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, and that's the thing. So, like, to me, people are like, what do you think about the special? And I'm like, it was funny. It wasn't, he might have opened some people's eyes to a slightly more progressive or whatever politics than they had before, but mostly, like, it was a comedy special. It was on Netflix. That's what I think about it. Like, but you know, it was jokes.
But I'm sympathetic to that idea that, like, you know, oh, it's, they control what's on the TV. And, like, you're right. Like, how good could it be? Or, like, I guess it's like, at what point should you try to do anything? Like, should you just not ever make art? Or, like, should you not try and inject politics into your, if you do have a quote unquote platform, like, should you not try to do that because it doesn't matter and you're never going to get anything like actually revolutionary into? I don't really know. Well,
I mean, that's the box that capitalism and liberalism is trying to put you in. It's like, look, you can either cave in and not say anything, or you can become the main character of Twitter for a while and be relegated to an inane debate that doesn't actually amount to anything, but where at the end of the day you might get to questionably be like, I might have done something to help. I don't know.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm really sorry to interrupt. This is extremely important breaking news. AMC Entertainment stock just hit $69.
Oh, beautiful.
69, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Call me when it hits 80,085. Okay.
I mean, the way things are going, it honestly could. It honestly could.
80,000 a share?
80,000 and
85. Well, that's what the crazy Reddit people are saying. They're like, if we just keep holding the stock and don't sell it to the hedge funds that need to cover their shorts, then they'll have to pay us $100,000.
Eventually, we'll be able to turn over our calculators and it'll say funny words.
they think that, and not the hedge funds will just declare bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. You know,
eventually we'll get to be hedge fund managers.
Yeah, Redditors are just temporarily embarrassed hedge fund managers.
Yeah, exactly.
It's starting to feel like that's what the entire economy is basically a bunch of people waiting for someone else to blink and just like holding or buying stuff and being like, next month this will be worth more. Like, very soon it's going to stop being worth more. I feel like global warming is coming, more pandemics are coming, and everyone is just like, well, Bitcoin will never go down in value.
I don't think more pandemics are coming, not for a long time.
Why not?
Hyperinflation is what's coming, and that's, I mean, you're right, Chris, and the result is not that suddenly your currency is worthless. It's suddenly your currency is worth very little, and you need way, way more of it to buy simple, basic commodities. And that's how they build the economy, where you're a gig slave who owns nothing and lives in a pod and eats fucking bugs.
I love to be like a fucking post-World War One German just walking around with my wheelbarrow full of Dogecoin trying to be able to afford a loaf of bread.
Yeah. That's literally what's happening right now. And it's all planned. I mean, we have a, we've said this before on the show, we have a fucking planned economy. It's planned in the way that it there's people that own everything and they crash it every couple of years so they can consolidate their wealth.
We have a plant economy. The whole economy is a CIA plant. It's just a distraction.
That's right. That is correct.
Sorry, at the end of the Fed.
What the hell is a yard of linen? Does it work for the CIA?
Look, I mean, I don't think it's unreasonable to be like, we do need to end the Fed.
They're part of the government.
But from the left.
Not whatever like what's wrong shit with Ron Paul was on.
Yeah, yeah. End the Fed, but not that way. Okay.
Yeah.
Would have ended the Fed.
He would.
Well, I love like the right libertarians. You're like, do you mean end the Fed or develop an independent Fed operated like a private business? And they're like, develop an independent Fed operated like a private business, which is mind blowing because the Fed is already operated like a private business.
Yeah. So the Fed is answers to basically nobody.
Yeah. It's like the piggy bank of like the largest corporations and banks, sort of. Yeah. But yeah, it's not like it operates to help any like humans.
Coming out of my front porch in the middle of the night and the CIA and the Fed are tearing up my lawn and I'm like, where are your parents?
The homeowners association is gonna know about this, guys. You're fucking out of the out of your ass after this.
What else is going on? Did you guys see Joe Biden being like, there's so many interracial couples on TV.
That's his favorite thing to talk about.
Why has every commercial got a black man and a white woman? I don't know. What's
that? That's his fucking go-to about like why racism is ending or whatever. Isn't the first time he's brought it up. That's like when he does speeches about racism. He's like, you watch commercials now and there's more interracial couples.
Good job, Cheerio.
It's fucking insane.
I saw the Citibank commercial. It had a white man and an Asian woman in a couple. And I said, those libertarians are fixing it for us.
you can take the Joe out of the Jim Crow, but you can't take the Jim out of the Joe.
That's what.
And
that
he's also jacking off.
I mean, I think once you're at a certain age, you can't remember like social norms from before you were 25.
Absolutely.
For the rest of your life, you're gonna be like, oh man, I think it's really, you know, you're like 105 years old and it's like, well, they let them have the drinking fountains, you know, what more do they want? And then now you have people now who are like, you know, my parents' age, and they're like, look, we used to take underprivileged black kids in and let them live with us for a few months at a time when I was a teenager. I can't possibly be racist.
You're absolutely right, John. I was this reminds me, I was in a parking lot outside a supermarket and this old lady was like struggling with her groceries. And I'm like, you want some help? And I mean, I think COVID has made people desperate for human contact.
Sure.
And
yeah.
So she starts going to the wedding is next at Tuesday.
Yeah.
No, I blew out her back wall. What actually happened was like, she started like telling me about her life. It's one of those conversations where it's like, please just stop. But she, the thing that I remember was like, she was like, yeah, my mom was from Oregon and she never even saw a black person before she came to New York State. And I'm like, it's exactly like the Joe Biden thing. It's like, they don't know what to share and what not to share.
I used to live in an old white enclave.
it reveals that they're in their minds. They're kind of still living in that America.
Absolutely. They are.
And that's why the national identity that Joe Biden represents, won out, you know?
Right. Yeah.
I think it's also
people
funny.
People be like, I used to be Ellie Kemper.
There's this thing that where people like ignore the fact that we live in a country that has like literal fascist white supremacist clubs that are just like people hang out in.
Yeah.
And then when like somebody famous like grew up in one of those, people are like, well, what we should do is cancel her.
Wait, was the office girl really in the KKK, or was she just in like adjacent to a country club or something like that?
Well, she's an heiress to a fortune that is managed by people who belong to a private social club that at one time was an offshoot of the KKK. So it's like I said on the bonus, it's kind of like, you know, people think that like white supremacy is going to be this like magical, like magically obvious, like bunch of rednecks in hoods burning shit. And it's like, no, the rich white supremacists know how to rebrand and change things up and make things less racist on the surface. But like the social club that her family belongs to does actively enforce class and race based segregation in St. Louis. They just don't do it while wearing white hoods. You know,
right. the real fucking white supremacist organization is just the people that own everything, own the businesses, own the land, own everything, and are just doing plantation shit. But they call it capitalism, and they bring somebody into their office like once a year to give a lecture on diversity or something.
Right. And they don't have Klan meetings. They have fucking Zoom calls and business lunches and dinner parties and balls and
they play
big
golf.
Social events. Yeah, they play golf and shit. Like they know how to keep it behind the scenes, you know? That's how they stayed rich and in charge in a lot of cases.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I think the reaction to just it's just so tepid and weak-willed to just be like, oh, I'm mad at this, you know, actress. Now I'm not going, now I don't think of her as highly. And so I'm good now because I don't associate with someone who was tainted by racists in her teenage years, whether she knew it or not or whatever. And it's like, completely ignoring everything that you guys said.
Right. Well, it's convenient.
It's the roots of this country.
Ellie Kemper stands on Twitter, and now the Klan is gone. There's no Grand Dragons anymore. Like, yeah, it's not sane. Like,
it's convenient to direct a bunch of people's righteous anger on the internet against some celebrity who is tangentially related to some bad shit. Instead, because human brains aren't capable of like focusing that kind of energy on like a the system, or like it's easier for somebody to get mad at Ellie Kemper because she's some white bitch than it's much harder for people to get mad in that kind of fashion as a collective against the entire class of people that runs our economy and owns everything.
I mean, and that's exactly it, because it's like, sure, fuck Ellie Kemper, I don't care, I'm not gonna like go to bat for some random celebrity, but like, you're missing the bigger picture if that's all you take away from this. Like, there you look at this and you're like, oh yeah, well, you know, she's a racist, or you think, well, she just comes from a background in the United States that hasn't really died out yet. And both of those are just like, you are too intellectually lazy to be like, there is systemic behind the scenes and overt racism that runs this country, and that's what we should be talking about, not Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah, well, I think what's interesting, yeah, you're right, is this is like, what's crazy is all of these people didn't know that the KKK adjacent, like, you know, Eyes Wide Shut ball was happening. And their takeaway from that isn't that, holy shit, that's happening. It's Ellie Kemper was involved in it. Yeah. It's like, what? Who cares?
The 16-year-old girl organized a racist ball where she was given a crown.
Yeah, but it's so normal. It's so normal that it's like, yeah, of course.
I think people aren't really shocked by that. Yeah.
A debutante ball, like a Wes Anderson produced debutante ball where everybody addresses each other by the N-word or something.
We get to say it.
It's probably a bunch of like wealthy poster, like minor internet celebrity, like sons and daughters of similar families to the one Ellie Kemper comes from, who are all like Homer talking to the pig in that Simpsons screen cap where they're like, act normal. And they're, you know, trying to like play it up online. They're like, oh, I can't believe that there are secret societies like this. Dad, erase all your Facebook photos. Like,
yeah. Well, yeah, yeah. But also, I think, I don't know. It's just like, I want people to react with more, less. There's something deep inside us that I think people forget, that like identity doesn't just manifest in racism. Like, people will accept that the racists are doing those because they're not like us. Like they expect, I think the real paradigm that is causing to be something that trends is that somebody who you think of yourself as relatable to, i.e. Kimmy Schmidt, right? This like pretty white girl.
I don't relate to her at all.
But I, you know, like people like her or whatever, or aspire right. to be her. And they say like, oh, well, she is doing that. And that's crazy. We expect the fucking freaks and weirdos who I think are subhuman. Even I'm not saying it's racist, but it's like there's a certain sense of like, oh, these people are poor or different or stranger than me. And they would do the weird KKK ball.
Right.
And
but
I
not
wouldn't.
Kimmy Schmidt. She has not, such yeah. a nice little liberal yeah. Amy Poehler produced show with a black best friend and no, right, the, all that stuff.
The thing is, it's like that actress's whole career has just been her playing a dumb white bitch. Like it's America. So statistically, you're it's racist. Just by numbers. If you're a dumb white bitch in America, you're going to end up at a KKK thing. It's just it's a numbers game at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think it's dangerous that people's refuse to like address the mechanizations of their assumptions, which is, you know, people who are like me are good and people who are, and like what those subcultural identifiers are, they always are othering people. And I think every, right. even people with quote unquote good politics are doing this constantly.
Well, I think it's like you said, Bryn, it's like maybe the biggest identity in American politics is one that we've kind of overlooked, which is that like, maybe it's civility, right? Like, oh, yeah. Okay, you're mm-hmm. a Republican, I'm a Democrat, they're a Libertarian, but we're all civil about it. And that was like, it was the violation of the big other to see somebody who was supposed to be, at least implicitly, it was never really explicit, but like implicitly, a figure of like respectable, you know, somewhat comedic liberal politics who was relatable and enjoyable to watch on TV. And for her to have been affiliated with something that we can kind of instantly recognize as like, that's an offshoot of an incredibly uncivil form of racism. It's not even that she's racist. It's that she's now attached to this no longer being willing to have a conversation about it. You know, oh my God, secret society is a Klan affiliation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like that people aren't even scared about the racist element. If she had been like, you know, part of a polite racist organization like the Republican Party or whatever, it would have been no big deal.
Of course. Well, then people are like, oh no, I'm sad that she isn't a part of my team. But right. no one would be like, we have to cancel her for being Republican or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Even though it's the same thing as being in a KKK offshoot.
Literally the same thing. Or Democrats. I mean, yeah.
The Democrats are literally the party that, like, I mean, if obviously there's been many realignments, but like they were the slavery party. But it's like both of those parties exist because the United States' history has set up
a two-party system
that exists to perpetuate the exact same things that it was founded on.
Yeah,
because why do they realign? It's not because the people in the parties hold like really strong convictions. It's because they're constantly trying to capture ebbs and flows of American politics that are getting outside of their control. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to change your whole fucking platform to do
that. And it's the mode of production. Because, yeah. I mean, if you look at back in the day, right, like the Democrats were a more rural party and they represented plantation owners. And the mm-hmm. Republicans were more of the party of like finance capital. And because of that, finance capital was okay with a mode of production that wasn't, you know, didn't incorporate slavery, but, you know, the plantation owners weren't. That's why you got that particular alignment. And then, yeah, they're literally just there. And then the Democrats and Republicans, every like 50 to 100 years, they get up in a line, they high five each other, they say good game, and they switch sides.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and, like, and they eat orange slices like it's fucking like Little League soccer or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, they're all wearing linen.
There's so many old dudes across the country who are like furious about it too. They're like, I'm a Republican, but like a 1825 Republican, or like, I'm a 1776 founding of Pennsylvania Democrat. And it's like, no, you're not. You're not a fucking Whig. You know, you're not.
I miss when we were like William Henry Harrison. What happened to that?
Yeah, you're not a Whig, Dad. You need a Whig, Kyle looking ass.
I've always I've always been more of a know nothing myself.
Yeah, I'm a big know nothing kind of guy.
Absolutely, absolutely fucking nothing whatsoever.
But I think you're right, John. I think that's the thing, is that there's this sort of, you have to be a normal person,
right?
And you have to, and that has become this sort of like liberal miasma of, you know, putting on a smiling face and acting a certain way, which is all, of course, you know, kind of coded white liberal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And it's well, like, and that's funny that you can be a liberal Republican. You just can't be a frothing, frothing racist Republican. But if you're just like putting on a suit and you act and you talk like this and you have a very calm demeanor, like, it doesn't matter what you're saying. It doesn't matter what you believe. And that's why there was like fawning. It's funny. I feel like there was a moment where the veil was pierced with Richard Spencer. Mm-hmm. And I think he became this very like thing where people are like, oh, you just have to act normal.
Right. Well, yeah, they see Richard Spencer and they see the Ellie Kemper thing and they're like, this is not normal. They're like on high alert. They're like, alarm bells are going off in their head. They're like, oh my God, this has finally crossed the line. And it's like, no, the point that you need to take away from this is that this is painfully normal.
Yeah.
That's the problem, is that this does happen all the time. Thousands, millions of people like this exist. That's the problem. Not that there's these one-offs.
The best part of that kind of like cesspool of ideology is that you see people on Facebook and they're like, they put their political views in their bio and they're like, I'm a conservative Democrat, or I'm a liberal Republican. And it's just like, oh, okay, you're
racist.
I need to talk to you as if you have like a baby brain.
You know? They do have baby brains. I mean, but there's no cultural, there's no like political education in this country whatsoever. So everybody's just like, I am, you know, this type of mall goth.
Shining path gorilla. Hashtag Biden 2020.
that's why I think it's really important, and why like, I don't think it's sufficient to just call yourself a leftist. It's like, if you call yourself a leftist, what are you? There's no left in the imperial core.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I don't say that.
I consider myself a Marxist. Like, if you call yourself a communist, a socialist, an anarchist, you at least, from that, I can glean that you identify an issue with the mode of production and you believe in a certain path forward to build an economy with a mode of production that's more equitable to workers. If you just call yourself a leftist, that's like as meaningless. Like, are you an AOC leftist? Are you like in the DSA? Yeah. That's as meaningless as calling like, oh, I'm pretty liberal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm very progressive.
It just makes me think, like, when people like specifically are like, I've been a leftist my whole life, it's like, you've been a bourgeois lifestylist your whole life.
You have not been anything your whole life.
Exactly. I learned to read with Marxist Capital.
Yeah. I mean,
my first words.
That's gonna be my children, though.
I feel like I feel like the word leftist kind of rose to prominence as Bernie started becoming a thing. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching and be like, why is everyone calling themselves a leftist? Like, I don't it.
Doesn't make any
sense.
The
whole left-right distinction comes from like French Parliament, right? Where like, depending on what wing of the party you were in, you would sit further and further on either side. And it's like, okay, the whole left-right distinction has always meant within a closed group of opinions, who's on the left and who's on the right. So like, it doesn't mean anything in the United States, because US politics and global politics or any other kind of politics don't even have the same fucking, like, remotely close to the same parameters of what's left and what's right. So leftist just becomes a junk term, like progressive. Like, I believe in historical progress. Yeah, shut the fuck up. So does everybody except the Deus Vult guys. You're not really distinguishing yourself from anyone.
That's why you don't hear people call other people rightists as often. Like, it's the only, I've only seen it used recently, but you'll never hear the term rightists.
These rightists
on on a news channel, but you hear leftists all the time, thrown around as a pejorative if it's on Fox News, or used as like to refer to a vague group of like associated people that happen to agree on certain things if they're talking about it on like MSNBC or something like that. Like, and that's by design. It's on purpose, and it because there's been a project for a 100 fucking years to destroy any semblance of an organized left in the United States and the world by extension. So yeah, why would we have any terms that are used commonly by the media or by the establishment that mean anything? It's much more beneficial for them to obfuscate and obfuscate and obfuscate to the point where it's like, oh, like I said, like if you call yourself a leftist, that could be anything from AOC to the Black Hammer guys that just got arrested because apparently they didn't actually buy that land.
That's very funny.
I mean, it's a really salient point, and it's kind of just like, you know, I think it's proven in some ways by, remember, God, a little over a year ago, just before the election was over, I think the Trump administration made the mistake during the summer protests about talking about anarchists specifically. Like they had the news media saying the word anarchists, and it did scare people. It did kind of whip up a little like weird McCarthyist ripple. But what it also did was it increased people's interest in what anarchism is and they shut it down. They stopped making it a talking point after about a week because it was backfiring, and more people were like, you know what? I am an anarchist. And as an anarchist, like, that rocks, but as an anarchist, that also kind of bugs me too, because it's like, okay, well, you know, you're not a very good one yet, but welcome. Welcome to the team.
Well, there's no team, there's no rules.
Yeah, there's no rules. No gods, no masters, no bedtime. I did bring snacks. You're welcome to one.
I like when we do these kind of episodes. No rules, no structure, no notes. Just let's just fucking hang out.
Rules, I make up all the rules.
Yeah, real Derrida podcasting hours. There is no outside conversation.
Yeah, but I think what's sad about it is that it's like, you're right, Todd, is that like, it's almost like the remnants of the war, right?
Yes.
Like there was a war against the left in America, and then the elites won. You know what
That's
I mean?
Right.
Like that, and we like, I don't know if we said this on an episode or if we were just talking about it, but like the goal of what we have now is to like fan kindling. We're not even in the fight yet. We have to like, we're not even ready to like look at the battlefield, you know, we're just like still trying to man up.
We're trying to put the steaks on the grill before it's even got going.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
The odds are stacked against us. Like the whole point is, I mean, everything related to any behavior in the political establishment, the media, education, it is all designed to make you fucking confused about that. It's capitalist realism. There's no alternative. It's designed to make you confused when you go start actually searching for an alternative, to the point where you think, oh, it funnels you back in to the Democratic Party, I guess would be the case with a lot of like quote unquote leftists.
I mean,
that's on purpose.
You had like this huge wave of people who wanted things to change, even on a basic level, that were being funneled towards socialism because of Bernie Sanders. And there was already a mechanism to capture all of that energy. And I don't think any of us really realized that it was happening at the time, but like the mechanisms were already in place to capture the energy and funnel it back into bourgeois politics. Right. And it's like, I don't know if that was Bernie himself or the DSA itself, but whatever happened, it happened, and it's like over. Like that.
Yeah.
The energy.
Now we're in the crumbling aftermath where we all have to look at screen caps of Breonna Joy Gray tweets wondering if she's shadow banned.
Yeah.
That is so funny. Fucking kill me.
I don't want to have to think about that shit.
Yeah.
Because she was always someone. Goddamn grifter.
But yeah, I think that because of that sort of, we are starting to feel the edges again of what of what the mechanisms are, because we've sort of, I think through the 90s and the early 2000s, lots of people were just living in the dark and didn't even realize that there was stuff outside of the box. And now you're sort of seeing where the edges of that box are and people are mm-hmm. pushing on them. And I think that's good. But every time I see stuff like people just being like, well, I'm a leftist, or I've been a leftist for a long time, I'm sort of like, where are you? Where, mm-hmm. like, yeah. you have to look Prove around it. Your box yeah. and be like, where are you pushing against? And
I'm if the answer anarcho is- Bidenist pee-pee poo-poo path.
but it's not, it's specifically not making like a hyper-targeted, like... An ideology that has never existed in history and is just like a bunch of different tendencies mashed together. Like, we've been talking about this since the beginning of the podcast. It's not that. That's just fragmentation. Like, that's on purpose.
Yeah.
It's it is like, just be specific. The mode of production is wrong. It should be this. Boom.
Yeah.
I can't fucking pretend to know the fucking solutions, but I still respect if somebody identifies as an anarchist, a communist, a socialist. Like, I get that they're at least putting some stock in, like, hey, we've identified the problems, we've diagnosed the issues, and we're prescribing a possible solution for a more equitable future.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, when I hear someone calls themselves a leftist, my only question is like, okay, do you think capitalism needs to be destroyed or not? Because like right. that's a very simple way to determine who's actually like left and who's left, you know?
When
like,
somebody calls themselves a leftist, my first question is, well, how many Funko Pops do you own?
Yeah. Yeah,
left of what, yeah. my friend? Yeah.
That's right.
How many
right.
Twitch subs can I give to your channel?
Yeah. The left side of the store is where all the most epic Funko Pops are. That's where you put your Rick and Morty's, your Iron Man, right. you know, your Captain America. The right side, you have cringe stuff like Simpsons, Funko Pops, you know, stuff that's not even true nerd culture.
Yeah, I'm a leftist. I wait till a store has a bunch of shit overstocked and then I buy what's left at a steep discount.
I just be in the dumpster. Yeah. Yeah. Not just because I live here, but also yeah. because that's where the best shit is.
Yeah, I was listening to an interview with someone named Alex Hachuli, who wrote a little paper recently. But his point was basically he was just saying like, what's more important is that you have a demand, and the demand is mm-hmm. we should be in charge. We want to govern ourselves. Mm-hmm. The elites have fucked up. We want to govern ourselves. We want to end capitalism and have a direct democracy. Like, I think that's even a good place to start. Mm-hmm. And yeah. you don't even have to call yourself a communist to do that.
No, because you can play the sneaky card where you're like, I just believe in, you know, direct democracy, both in the federal and state governments and in the workplace. And people are like, don't you realize what that entails? And you're like, yeah.
Yes, I do. Yeah. I do, actually.
I sure do.
Yeah, and I think those kind of, you know, you don't have to have a plan for how you're going to do it. Maybe that can be more organic, but like if you can get people to all agree like what the end goal is,
right.
Then you can start to get people on board and actually start talking about it instead of all of this constant fucking arguing about shit that doesn't matter.
And that's why right. I'm going to save the left right now
yep,
by proclaiming myself a constitutional originalist and Whig. Who is willing to lead the anarcho-Whiggist Stalinist party to victory in the United States.
Anarcho-Whiggist Stalinist.
This is the perfect plan. John, you just have to like craft a new online persona of like a conservative constitutional Whiggist and then do a couple takes that will get dunked on. And if they're dunked on in the right way and you convince someone at Fox News that you're actually conservative, just go on Tucker Carlson like wearing a big wig.
Yeah,
I think he'll hear you out.
My experience on Twitter, I have to tell you, Laura, is the reason I believe there's anti-Semitism in the modern day Whig party.
And we need to end it.
It must be ended. They've been calling me John Paul Shitterman.
Yeah.
John Paul Wigterman.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this has been a fun little rambling episode about, you know.
Oh, we didn't even get a chance to talk about you getting grill pilled.
I just did grilling. I didn't take a pill.
No. You're grill pilled.
I'm on antibiotics right now. But I had a party, a real one. with no masks because COVID is fake.
That's a pandemic.
I don't believe in it. I don't have a vaccine. So thanks for listening to BB Bledis. It's been great to have you here. If you'd like to hear more of our show, you can go to patreon.com/BB Bledis. I'm playing a show with my band Standside. Frequency One. It will be Trapo Trap House and E1 and Zola Jesus and Downtown
Zola
Boys.
Jesus, holy shit!
Oh, yeah, Downtown Boys.
I will Tinder Live. Lots of fun stuff. Go to frqncy.com and buy tickets for that, please. It's happening this Saturday. It's on June 5th. It's going to be a great time.
It's gone, like it's not going to be online.
No, it will be a one-time thing. We'll stream it live on Frequency, and then that'll be it.
Nice.
But I will be there in real life, so I'm excited for that. Otherwise, you can listen to my other show, Generation Lost, John's other show, Work Stoppage. Follow us on Twitter @WeedPod, and we'll see you in the Discord.
Keep peeping.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Nathan J. Leno.